Okay, we're going to talk tonight all about the halachos of a saint talamater levracha. We're going to discuss when to start, when to stop saying the saint talamater, how we came up with this. Now, before we get into that, I was concerned that someone in this year would ask me about how to make the calculation December 4th, December 5th. To the best of my knowledge, I think there are only two dates in halacha that are by the English calendar. One is the saint talamater levracha, December 4th, 5th, and the other one is Berachas Chachama, 28 years. So that's the only... To the best of my knowledge, those are the only two calendaric dates from the English calendar that we actually recognize in halacha. Being that the Beis Yosef goes on and on and on explaining how exactly we come up with this cheshbon of December 4th, and he says how the Christians changed the calendar, and that's how we got to the cheshbon, the whole thing. So someone sent me today an email with a printout of exactly how they made the cheshbon. So I printed that out for anyone who's interested in that. We're not going to do that tonight. You can bring that home and read it at home. I did not understand it at all. But you might have better luck than I have. A little too mathematical for me. We're going to discuss more about the halachic aspects of the Saint Talamata Levracha. So we're going to start as follows. There are really two times in Shemona Esrei where we mention the inyan of Geshamim. One is obviously Masha Baruch Amarta Geshem, which we call colloquially, the Gemara really calls Masha Baruch Amarta Geshem, Gevuras Geshamim. And we also have the same Talumata Levracha, which the Gemara calls She'ela. She'ela Bebrichas Hashanah. That's what the Gemara calls this recital of the same Talumata Levracha. Now, when do we start saying Geburus Geshamim, Masha Baruch? So the din is that we bench Geshem on Shmini Atzeres, and that's when we begin to say Masha Baruch Amarta Geshem. However, when it comes to starting to say when it comes time to begin to say the Saint Talamater, the Gemara says in Tainus on Daf Yud that really we should begin saying the Saint Talamater at the same time we begin saying Geshem. That would be the most obvious choice, would be to start them at the same time, because this is obviously the season when we need the rain.
Is it the same thing, Mater and Geshem?
Let's assume they're the same. So this is the season when we need rain. So really, I should assume that we would start to say the day after, on Matzah Yantif of Shmini Atzeres, we should begin to say the same Talamater. However, let's talk about Eretz Yisrael for now. Eretz Yisrael, as the Mishnah tells us in Tainus on Daf Yud, from Gamliel HaYomer, Eretz Yisrael begins to say the same Talamater on Zayin Cheshvan. So why do they wait 2 weeks after Shmini Atzeres to begin to say the same Talamater in Eretz Yisrael? So to that, Rami Gamliel says that we want to make sure that for those who were Ola Regel, who came to Yerushalayim, and who need to travel back, so the farthest distance that anyone will have to come to Yerushalayim, to be Ola Regel, from Eretz Yisrael, is a 2 weeks time span of travel. So therefore, says Rami Gamliel, we don't want them to be turned off from coming to be Ola Regel to Yerushalayim, so therefore we're going to wait 2 weeks till we ask for the Geshem. Now, if I didn't point out, it's an interesting thing, you see the Karach HaTfila from this. It sounds like it's going to start raining once we start being mispallel. And before we start being mispallel, it's not going to rain. So it's interesting that Acharonim point out, you see how strongly, how seriously we take the Karach HaTfila, that over here we're going to wait 2 weeks to begin to say the same Talamater, even though we really need the rain, but we're going to wait because we need it to stop and wait for the 2 weeks for people to get home. Now Acharonim point out also, it's an interesting thing, that if this is true, then why don't we stop saying the same Talamater 2 weeks before Pesach? The people have to be Ola Regel, they have to get to Yerushalayim, so they're going to get rained on their way up. So why isn't that just as bad? So that's why I didn't point this out. I haven't seen a really good teretz for it, but just an interesting thing to keep in mind, that everyone stops saying the same Talamater on Pesach. Why don't we stop 2 weeks before Pesach? Because we don't want people to get soaked when they are traveling up to be Ola Regel. Okay. Either way, when you think about it, Rabbi Gamliel's whole reason for starting in Eretz Yisrael from Zayin Cheshvan 2 weeks after Sukkot is because we don't want the Ola Regel to get soaked when they go home. We don't want when they're on their way back going home. We don't want them to get to have a very difficult travel. When you think about it, so what's the story of Bizman Hazeh? The Ritva and other Rishonim ask, so what's the story of Bizman Hazeh? We don't have a Ola Regel. So why is it that we find that we don't begin to save a Saint Talamata right after Sukkot? This reason shouldn't apply anymore. So the Ritva actually says, he quotes some Rishonim that say that in Eretz Yisrael, you're right, Bizman Hazeh, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so in Eretz Yisrael, they really should begin to say the same Talamater immediately following Sukkot. The same time we start to say Masha Baruch Amarta Geshem, they really should begin to say the same Talamater as well. Which in Shulchan Aruch, we do not paskin like this. We paskin in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Kuf Yud Zayin, that even Bizman Hazeh, we begin to say the same Talamata in Eretz Yisrael only from Zayin Cheshvan. So it's a little bit strange. Why is it? We don't have Aliyah L'Regel B'Zman Hazeh. We have no people who are traveling who are going to get stuck by the rain. So why is it that we don't begin right away? This is the rainy season. We should really start immediately following Chag HaSukkot. So the Ran in the back of the Gemara in Tanis Daf Yud comments, I think this is Beis Amin Aleph in the Ran's commentaries on Tainis. So the Ran writes that the reason for this is that there was a strong minhag that we find even after the Churban HaBayis, that people used to travel to Yerushalayim at the times of Yom Tov. Not so crazy. Nowadays, everyone goes to Eretz Yisrael, not everyone. Many, many people find themselves in Eretz Yisrael, Pesach, Sukkot, some people go for Shavuos. So the Ran writes that this actually was a dated minhag. A lot of people used to do this, that they would travel to Yerushalayim to remember the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. They would actually want to get that feeling into their bodies. So the Ran says that if that's true, so then this reason would apply nowadays. And therefore, the Ran says that we still wait till Zayin Cheshvan because we want to give people time to fulfill this minhag of going to Yerushalayim even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. However, the Achronim do point out that this is strange bizman hazeh, because it doesn't take us 2 weeks to travel to Yerushalayim. Take, what's the farthest place in the world from Yerushalayim?
Australia,
let's say? I have no idea, but let's assume it's Australia. How long could it possibly take a person? 2 days, maybe, if he has a stopover? How long is it going to take him? So why do we need to wait 2 weeks, according to the Ran's reason that we have this minhag to still go, why do we need to wait 2 weeks to begin to say v'sein talamata d'bracha? It's interesting when, just parenthetically, when we think about this issue of Bizman Hazeh traveling is much faster than it was then, this comes up in the Nodeh Bihuda. There's two Talmidim of the Nodeh Bihuda who had a machlekes. The din by Karban Pesach is that someone who was Mishah Yatame or Bederach Rechoka does not bring Karban Pesach. He brings Pesach Shem. Right? So what's the definition of Derech Rechoka? So the Gemara gives us an exact definition, how far away he has to be from Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach at Chatzos to be considered too far away that he's Pater. Okay, so the Gemara gives this description. So the Talmidim of the Nodeh Bihuda, they were riding tshuvas at the time when I guess the train was invented, the locomotive, they ride it. So that being the case, they said, I can get to Yerushalayim much faster nowadays than the people in the days of Aliyah L'Regel, the people in the days of the Gemara. It took them much longer. They used to walk. So now that I can take a train all the way to Yerushalayim from wherever I am, or I can take a plane for that matter nowadays, so maybe the definition of Derech L'Choka should be change a little bit. Maybe that should make a difference with Zman Hazeh. So they have a big Machlekes, which makes also a big Nafkamina with regard to Hilchas Avelos. That nowadays we know when someone is distant from the mace, so there's a Shmur Rechaika, there's a Shmur Kreiva, that's really about days, not really this, but there are other dinim that have to do with this. It would make big Nafkamina. So there is a discussion as to whether we should change the anything that has to do with times of travel nowadays, when our traveling time is obviously much faster than and much more efficient than it ever was, maybe that should be in question as well. But that being aside, so what's the reason that we can say for the Ran? If the Ran is correct, the Ran says that the reason why nowadays in Eretz Yisrael we still wait 2 weeks to say the same Talamata, and the reason for that is because people had the minhag to go to Eretz Yisrael even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, if that is correct, so why nowadays? It takes us much faster than 2 weeks. We should begin to say right away. So the Ran over there says another reason. And he comments that if you look carefully in the Gemara in Tainus Daf Yud, you'll see that the Gemara says another reason why we wait 2 weeks to start to say it in Eretz Yisrael. And that is because this is the season when we begin to plant all the plants in the ground. And if we don't give the plants 2 weeks to fertilize, we don't give them 2 weeks to actually solidify in the ground, and now it comes pouring down on the plants, on the seeds, so everything's going to get ruined. So it says the Gemara, Mipnei Ovdei HaAdama, because of the people who used to be farmers. So we want to be careful not to ruin their whole year's produce. We don't want them to get all messed up just from the rain that we're going to be mispallel for. So therefore, says the Ran, even bizman she'ein beis hamikdash kayim, we would be careful not to begin to say the same talamater until 2 weeks have passed from Chag HaSukkot. So that's with regard to Eretz Yisrael. Now, what's the story with Chutz La'aretz? We know we don't begin to say on Sukkot. We don't begin to say on Zayin Cheshvan. We begin to say on December 4th, 5th, which whatever the Cheshvan is, that's when we begin to say. So what's the story with that? So there's a very interesting Tshuvas HaRash that I came across. When you look in the Tur, it's fascinating because the Tur obviously is a Psak Halacha Sefer, so he's not going to bring a whole Arichas that his father writes. The Tur was the son of the Rush, so the Tur is not going to write the whole Arichas that his father has in the Tshuva. He quotes one line that his father used to do X, Y, and Z. I don't know what compelled me to actually look up the Tshuva Harash myself, but when I came across it, it's fantastic what he writes. It's a fascinating story that he says. Let's read, just there's a little bit of history here before he begins the actual Tshuva. Yeah.
We're asking for the Masha Baruch and Maregeshem anyway, right away. So what's the difference?
Oh, so we're going to get to that in a minute. What's the difference between Masha Baruch and Masein Talam Matar? People are going to get rained on once we start saying Masha Baruch.
Right. Does anybody,
so we'll get to that in a minute.
We talk about, I'm assuming that the Shelat HaGshamim is not for New York City. It's for Eretz Israel. Or is that wrong? No, it's when we say Masha,
it's for us. It's for us. Oh, so this is the rush. That's a very good point. That's what we're about to see in the rush. If that's the case, then why don't we say it during the whole rainy season when we need rain? Why do we care what's going on in Yerushalayim? That's exactly what the rush's problem is, right? So let's see in a second. Let's see the rush. It's such an interesting story that he quotes here. The tour, for some reason, crept into the Tshuva Harash, and he wrote a tshuva before his father's tshuva was actually printed. So he writes this, and it's printed in the Tshuva Harash. He writes as follows. Here we go with the story. It was in the year which is exactly 700 years ago. Netzur hagashamim v'lo himter kol achoref ela ma'at. Says the Rush, there was very little rain in the community where he lived. So the elder statesman of the community decided we're going to make a fast day, we're going to make some slichas, we're going to say some tehillim, and now we're going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us rain because we need to live. It's causing a big problem.
Where was this? The Rush lived.
You'll see in a second. He's going to say, "Vayhi b'leil rishon shel Pesach." So now we're holding. When do we stop saying the same Talmud Matar? Generally, you stop saying it at Pesach. That's the last time. So says the Torah, we're holding in leil rishon shel Pesach acharei tefilas arvis. Va'adoni avi harash hayoshev al Pesach beso. My father, the Rush, is sitting by the doorstep of his house. And va'anachnu k'tzas me'achaberim omdim alav mimino m'smalo. He had a bunch of talmidim who were walking with him, who were standing with him. Vayomer, and says the Rush, he has such a wonderful idea. Comes up with a lightning bolt. Ata hayatov la'or hadavar asher me'olam tamati alav. Now is the proper time for me to ask a question, which I've been bothered by for years and years and years. Now what is that? Lama lo yaskir v'yishalu hageshem ad shavuos. If we live in a community in Europe where we actually need rain now, and we're about to call this fast day, we're about to say slichos, we're about to say yud gimel midos, because we need rain, so why don't we just continue to say v'sein talam matar until Shavuos? Who told us that we should stop at Pesach? You're right, the Gemara says you say it until Pesach and tainis daf yud, but maybe that was only because the rainy season in Eretz Yisrael or in Bavel works out that way, but us in Europe, we obviously need rain for a longer period of time. So the Rush says, here's my perfect chance. Everyone knows we need rain. Let's continue to say the same Talmud Matar until Shavuos. This is the Rush's idea. Vayanu k'tzas me'achaber. So some of my friends who were the Talmidim of the Rush said, Tovu shetadiyah hadavar lazkenim. Let the word be known in our community that this is what the Rush said. This is what he feels, that we should say the same Talmud Matar until Shavuos. Vayasu ken v'yashar be'neim. And that's what everybody did. They made a clap on the bima the next day and they said, we're going to continue to say v'sein talam matar on the first day of Chol HaMoed and until Shavuos. Vayishlichu l'chazan haKnesses lahazkir l'machar hageshem. They sent a message to the Shliach Tzibur that when he davens for the Amid, he should say v'sein talam matar. Vayasu kein, that's what they did. Vayazkiru b'nei haKnesses haGedola haYud Gimel Midos. The Knesses haGedola was saying Yud Gimel Midos. Why? Because they needed rain very badly. By he kol, everyone was tumbling about it. Bihinei rash. There were some people who were annoyed in the community, as usual. Some old Rabbanim, it wasn't the Balabatim, it was the Rabbanim, which is also as usual. They were angry, why weren't we consulted? The Rush decided to get up and decide that we should say the same Talmud Matar. He decided that on his own, why didn't he consult the other Rabbanim? We're also entitled to have an opinion on the matter. So they got upset. And they began to say terrible things about the Rush. They said it's not right what the Rush said. They disagreed with him. And they were upset why they weren't consulted before the Rush issued his psak to the chazan of the Beis HaKnesses. So, Vayisapek Adoni Arush, the Rush was very upset. Below Diber Bayom Hahu Me'uma. Listen to this. He was so angry he didn't talk that entire day. Ad Leil Chol HaShamoed. Until that night he wouldn't say a word. And then he sat down, Vayichto Megillah Sefer Lechazik Dvarav. And then he sat down and he wrote a tshuva to explain what he had just said. V'zat tarfa. Now I'm going to write what exactly the tshuva is, which we'll see in a minute. Very fascinating story to the history, which obviously the Tur in his Pirush on Shulchan Aruch does not write this whole background of the story, but when I looked it up, I saw it was so interesting. So that's what happened.
He didn't have a second day Pesach? I mean, this was the first night Pesach.
Right.
And the next day he had the everything, and then he didn't talk that whole day until Chol Hamoed, which was tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know exactly what was going on there, but it's a very interesting thing. I have a different horror. It seems that he wrote this on Chol Hamoed, right? No, isn't that what it seems? It says he sat down that night and he wrote it. So it seems to me that you wrote on Chol Hamoed. I don't know. The Acharonim say you're allowed to write Shtikl Torah on Chol Hamoed because you're afraid you're going to forget it. This was obviously a Tzarech HaShah because everyone was bothering him. All the Rabbanim in the community were saying, hey, Rush, why do you think you're allowed to make such a psak with that? Asking us what qualifications do you have to make such a psak? So you have to sit down on Chol Hamoed. It was a Tzarech HaShah. You have to sit down and actually write on Chol Hamoed. That's what it seems. I don't know. Just something interesting that we came across here.
Who's the son of the Rush?
The Tur. So the Torah is writing this. So now he writes as follows. Al-Kishamati ki yesh tmeim al-dvarat. I'm writing the following tshuva because I hear that there are those Rabbanim in the community who have a problem with what I said. Basi lefarish ma sha'amati. So now I'm coming to say the explanation behind my psak. She'en roi lipsak min lahaskir v'lishol ata b'yamta v'rishon shal Pesach. I feel it's not right to stop saying v'sein talamater on the first night of Pesach. Why? Our community obviously has a rain season that continues till Shavuos. And right now especially that we're in a special need when our community is in a dire drought, so obviously we should continue to say it. We shouldn't stop saying it at Pesach. Umikvar, says the Rosh, Umikvar yamim rabim ba'ashkenaz. It's already been years in the communities in Europe. Nisar amti al shnei dvarim. There were two questions that I've had for a long time, shara'isi shenogim b'yamim halalu, that I see people have this minig, and I have two questions on it. Ha'echa, number one, she'en and shalom ha'gisham kitikon. Number one, I don't think that we're asking talamata the bracha at the right time. Why? Be'eretz Ashkenaz shabizman hazeru mechatzi tishrei ve'elech. The season to plant is from the middle of Tishrei. Hadavar yoduashim lo yerdu shamim yad achar hazera shum eskalkel. We know obviously that if the rain doesn't come down on the seeds, it's going to get ruined. So why are we waiting till December 4th? That's the Rosh Hashkasha. Why do we wait till December 4th? Why don't we say it right away after Sukkot when we know that that's when we need the rain most because we need the plants to grow. Shall opos v'ha'achvarim yachlu kulu. We know that if the rain is not going to come down onto the seeds, then the bugs, the insects, are going to go and ruin all that we planted. Lama lo nasa kibnei Eretz Yisrael shasholim ha'gishamim b'marcheshu. So the Rosh's first question is, why don't we do like the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, who obviously need rain right away? So we also do. Ask anyone who's involved in agriculture, they'll tell you that right after Sukkot is when the rain season should begin. So if that's true, ask the Rush, I don't understand why we wait until December 4th. Simple.
One more question, why not just right after Sukkot?
Oh, so then we have the 2 weeks. So over here, where the 2 weeks don't apply, right. So really we should start right after Sukkot.
Right.
That's the Rush's kasha.
Yeah. Because he says
I think he means just that tkufa.
Like
matzino, and he says the same should be true. Shekol ha-mishna lo nishnash el ebnei Eretz Yisrael lefi tzarcham. Don't tell me that the Mishnah says in Chutz La'aretz you start saying on Zayin, you start saying on December 4th, whatever. That's not true. It's not true. That's only because in Babel, that's what they needed at the time. So how about in Europe where we need something different? So then we should change. So that's question number one of the Rush. Number two says the Rush, Haminig HaSheni, my second problem is, Shenogim Lifsok Mi Lishol Ulahazkir B'yamta V'rishon Shal Pesach. I don't understand why we stop saying it by Pesach. That's what the Rush was talking about in this particular story. Don't we know Shabbat Ashkenaz that in Europe Iker Kiyam Atfuah Hi Al Yedei Hagshamim Shebein Atzeres LePesach? Don't we know that a very serious time when we need the rain is in between Pesach and Shavuos? So if it was up to me, I would say we should continue to say the same Talamater and not stop Pesach. Avo BaAshkenaz She Efshel Tvula Eskaim Zulasi BeMatzah Shemein Pesach LaAtzeres Simam Bracha Ulahem V'Lama Lo Nishal Menasker Ad Hatzeres. Ask the Rush, we should continue to say it. The same way we should begin to say it earlier, so too we should continue to say it later, because this is the season when we need the rain. V'amarti kama pa'am l'chaverai. And I consulted with my friends many times, other Rabbanim. Sh'rayi ha'ya sh'lo l'hafzik milisho l'haskir ala tzeres. I believe that we should not stop to say this until Shavuos. Ki'ata ani yodea sh'kal ha'arotza sh'ani yodea ikar gishmeyam heim ben pesach la'tzeres. Every community where I've been, we know that we obviously need the rain for longer. Ubavadei Rabim Ninu, and it's many, many communities, so therefore we should change the minhag. That's the Rush's question. Amar li libi ata higia ha'es l'sakin ma'ashin es ha'besi zeh yamim rabim. Says the Rosh, I hit the jackpot. We happen to be in a drought this year. People realize the situation is very serious. So now's my chance to actually be misakin what I wanted to do my whole life. He says, I'm going to jump into the situation where everyone's fragile, and I'm going to do something that I would have wanted to do for many years already. Ki bevadei sheyishmu lecha be'estar kazos, they're for sure going to listen to me now. V'im yekaimu aleim b'shana azos, yarav aleim v'lo yeshuvim yimenu. If they start listening to me this year, then from mikana lehaba, it won't be as difficult to convince them in the future as well. Once we do it once, then it's already broken. So that's what the Rush writes, which is very interesting. And in Shulchan Aruch, we do not accept the Rush's questions. In Shulchan Aruch, we say that even though the rainy season begins from much earlier than 60 days after the Tekufa, which is December 4th, it really begins right after Sukkot, we still wait to say it till now, which is obviously the minhag in the whole world. It's interesting that they say, B'shem Reb Chaim, that since he was choshesh for this Rosh's taina, and he used to say, during the whole season, he would say, V'sein talamater and Shema Kolein.
I mean, I don't know what the Rosh knew about, let's say you have the southern hemisphere, it's exactly opposite.
Right.
What do they do?
So maybe they should say at the other half of the year. That's what Reb Chaim said. Reb Chaim is famous for saying that based on this Rosh, wherever a person lives, he should speak to the people that understand the agriculture, and he should find out, when do we need the rain, when do we not? Exactly like you're saying.
So based on this, we're only saying it for where we live, we're not saying it for Israel.
Yeah, we're saying it for where we live. So the Rosh is saying, if you're right that we're saying it for where we live, so why don't we actually make sure it makes sense to where we live? Why do you say it could be what they did in Babel? That doesn't make sense for us nowadays. So that's the Rosh's taina. Now, if you look in the next of the sources, it's very interesting. Rav Moshe has a tshuva here. Every tshuva in Rav Moshe, he writes to a specific individual. He always writes his name. I came across a tshuva here where Rav Moshe writes, L'Rav Echad. And Rav Moshe goes crazy at this person. He goes nuts at him. You'll see, we read in a second. He goes nuts at him for asking a kasha, which really is pretty similar to the Rosh's question. Rav Moshe makes no mention of the Rosh. So I showed this to my father. I was very surprised. What's the story? Why doesn't Rav Moshe write a name? I thought it was because Rav Moshe is about to be mevazim in public, so that's why he didn't write his name. So my father checked in his Igros Moshe. He has the first one. Rav Moshe gave him as a wedding present. The original Igros Moshe, before it was all printed in one little set. So my father checked in his, and this tshuva is printed with the person's name. Just in the later editions that I have, they took the guy's name out. I don't know why. So my father happened to say that someone once pointed out to him who this Rav Echad was, that Rav Moshe was going nuts at. My father was convinced that there's a reason why Rav Moshe was decided to go all out against this person. It wasn't because of his kasha about this, it was for other reasons. And my father said he found out about this guy that he was not such a simple individual. He did tax evasions, he was claiming insurance fraud. I'm not sure exactly what he was doing, but my father said it could be that Rav Moshe knew some of his shtick and knew what was going on with him, and that's why he decided to go all out at him in this tshuva. So if we look at the tshuva in Rav Moshe, it's very interesting. This guy writes, says Rav Moshe, "Be'inyan shelas talamater mishishim yom achar tkufa, be'ezer Hashem yud gimel tishrei tavshim emalaf l'Rav Echad." He doesn't identify exactly who this person is. He says, I'm writing this tshuva to Mr. Anonymous. Hine aktim tchila klal gadol asher kori ledavar shenogim kol Yisrael bedavar talamater b'chutz la'aretz shum yom shishim l'tkufa l'vichezron shal Shmuel. The Gemara says in Erevin dafin vavim achlegas Shmuel and Arvada, how do we exactly make the chesbon of when to start saying the same talamater? So, obviously, apparently, this Rav Echad decided that Shmuel's calculation is wrong, and practically he's right. Because if you talk to anyone who knows anything about this, apparently the cheshbon that we keep is totally off. Doesn't signify anything in nature. So why is it that we start now? So this is what the person was writing, and he was saying maybe we should recalculate. Maybe we should think again about the math about how to exactly make the zmanim in our calendar. So he says, "V'lo lefi cheshbon sharav adashu hu shkaga." You want to say that it's a mistake? But imsa shekesa rosho shekesa rosho choshev, and you, Mr. Rav Echad, thinks. You think you're greater than all the Rishonim that preceded you, than all the Achronim that preceded you. You think everyone up until you think you have the world's greatest kasha, that you're greater than everybody else who came before? And you think you caught a mistake that no one else ever found? Excuse me, sir. It's extremely arrogant of you to talk like this. I don't know. I've read a lot of tshuvas in Rav Moshe. I never saw him write like this. This is like, he's going wild at this guy. So he says, Yarusa Yeserta, it's extremely arrogant of you to talk like this. The Kolchkein Shlo Lomar Belichtov Ken, you wrote a Shtikal Torah to prove your point. That's absolutely out of bounds. You're not allowed to do such a thing. V'yoda keserosho kol ki kol ma shechazin and shosin rak kahal gadol b'Yisrael ein adavar tos. When you have a minhag that's done by a large constituency in Klal Yisrael, it can't be a mistake. Shevadai nasez al pi chacham, because this obviously was started by some talmid chacham way back when. Me'achashu kal mishomer Torah mitzvah. So tzarach limtzo tam. When we find a minhag that we think is strange and we don't understand it, so we have to actually work very hard, which Ramesha does in his tshuvas very often, to really understand where the minhagim came from and what the basis is for them. Afim sharki ilosan enorgin came. Abo kivanshu kal echad ein lino kamosa mitzina. This is all when you find some sort of minhag that you think is strange. So you don't pick up that minhag, but we have to make some sort of understanding. However, he says, Abo davrsha nagu kol Yisrael. This is not something that a small group, a small segment of Klal Yisrael took upon themselves. This is something that Gans Klal Yisrael has been doing. They say Talmud Matar on December 4th. So you're ready to get up and say that they're all making a mistake, that you think they're wrong? So he says, Mechrachim Latzos Kamosam, everyone has a responsibility to go along with what the Tzibur does. Af Misha Choshev Shehu Tos, even if you're convinced that it's a mistake, Tzarchu Leida Sheklal Yisrael Osin Kedin, because you have to know very clearly that Klal Yisrael does things properly. V'av Sheyesh L'Kushla Alayu, even though you might have some good questions. V'ein Yodeh L'Tar Tzeno Klum. Even though you have questions, still, you are not in a position to question this Minig Yisrael, which is Bechol Tvusus Yisrael. It's something that all of Klal Yisrael does. So if you look in the next line, Ramesha, yet again, in the next Chelek of Igros Moshe, goes out again against this person. And I just took the last line of the paragraph, but it's a very short tshuva, one paragraph. Again, he just goes all out. And he says, V'nimtza shevelobes chavin hevi rai ledvarai. He says, you am aretz, you wrote a letter to me and you thought you had a raya from something. So Ramesha flipped the raya inside out and he showed how it's a raya against the guy. And he says, V'sulo midi, end the story, you have no right to talk about this anymore. De'ein lahara achar zeh apadar kushya ki yafa nogin. He says, you have no right to even ask any questions. Keep your mouth shut, that's it, enough out of you. That's where Ramesha ends off with this guy, which is very interesting that when you look in the Rush himself was also questioning the Cheshbon. A different part of the question, the Rush was dealing with a different question than this Rav Echad was dealing with, but it's very strange that when you think about it, that Ramesha doesn't even quote this Rush, Ramesha doesn't even consider the fact, the possibility that there were some Rishonim who felt that maybe the count is wrong, maybe we should recalculate, maybe we should reconfigure. Ramesha doesn't reckon with that at all. Ramesha doesn't discuss that at all, and he just gets very offended that this person is ready to argue on all the Rishonim and Achorim that preceded him.
But they're both going against, they're both saying different things, the Rush and this Rav Echad.
Right, so they are saying different things.
No, but they're, the bases are different things.
Yeah.
Because this guy wants to try to
uproot everything.
Uproot the Cheshbon that was Cheshbon.
Right.
But the Rush is just asking that we should ask for,
we should continue
for our needs.
Yeah, but the Rush is saying.
Different.
Yeah, but the Rush is also saying that we should continue to say a nusach in Shmona Esrei that we never used to say
because of our needs.
Right. So you're saying it should be like
guy,
any other sheilas tzurachim in
right,
the middle of Shmona Esrei.
But this guy is trying to
wants to uproot the whole thing. Right. So it could be.
Which is not what the Rush is doing.
Right. So it could be.
The Rush could be saying that the cheshbons are good, but mm-hmm. we need it for our.
Right.
For our
so it's possible.
It's
I just find it strange that Ramesha doesn't even quote him to say that, oh, there have been questions asked before and we don't pass them like it. Even to say in Shulchan Aruch, we don't pass them like the Rush. Ramesha could have started with that. The Rush also had good kashas. But Shulchan Aruch could pass them not like him. All the Rishonim said not like that. I don't know, there must be, my father agreed with me, that there must be something behind these tshuvas, something that was bothering him about this individual or about the Shtikl Torah that he wrote, that he's not writing here. There's
what
something underlying.
What is the 60
days? Oh, so the Gemara says in Tanya Staf Yudam Abeis, that Yudam and Aleph Yudam Abeis, that we start to say the same Talmud Matar and Chutz La'aretz 60 days after the Tkufas Tishrei. So Tkufas Tishrei started in Tishrei. So 60 days is December 4th.
Tishrei is the equinox, whatever that is.
Whatever you call it, yeah. So that's when we begin to say in Chutz La'aretz. So far, so good?
How do you get to December 4th anyway?
Oh, so that's the other Cheshbon, the other sheet.
Yeah. The one I glaze the aluminum. I see numbers I
go to them anonymously.
Means September 21st, 60 days is November 21st.
Right.
Or whenever.
Yeah, so the Beis Yosef has a long calculation how exactly we get to December 4th. And many, many, many people have spent a lot of time trying to write it over, trying to figure it out exactly how it works. But it's not what we're going to be focusing on tonight. So we'll get to that in a few minutes. We will get there. That's 2 days in the Mishnah Berurah and a third day. So we'll get there in a minute. Yes?
Is this related to the Pope in 1539?
Yeah.
It went from December 4th to December 15th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it not say that on the English sheet?
Yeah.
You can take one. I think they're in the back. You can read that later. I think that's all about how to make the calculation. He writes about the Pope when he went, whatever it was. Okay. So the question is as follows. When we begin to say, Mashiv HaRuach HaMarad HaGeshem, that is on Shmini Atzeres. So the Rush in Tainis quotes a Yerushalmi that when do we begin to say, we all know, we say Shmini Atzeres morning before Musaf we bench Geshem. Right? Everybody knows that. If the Tkufa to stay Mashiv HaRuach HaMarad HaGeshem is today, we always know that the Jewish calendar starts from the night. So why do we only begin to say this at Musaf? Why don't we start to say it already at Ma'ariv of Shmini Atzeres? If that's the proper time when we need rain, so why don't we start to say Gburis Geshamim from Ma'ariv?
It has to be announced.
So why can't you announce it at Ma'ariv? That's the question. So the Rush quotes, and all the Rishonim are wondering this, so the Rush quotes a famous Yerushalmi from Tainus.
It'll be too messy to get the shul the next morning.
Because
they ate in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres.
No.
So they didn't want it to rain on Shmini Atzeres.
Aha, the only problem is that, obviously, this is not asking for the rain, because the She'ela is asking for the rain, and that's why we wait. So this is just Haskar's Gevuras Geshamim. All great suggestions, but the Gemara says that they're wrong. So here's the question. So the Rush quotes the Yerushalmi, and other Rishonim quote this as well, that the reason why we actually begin to say it in the morning by Musaf and not by Ma'ariv is because, interestingly enough, what?
And not by Shachris.
Not by Shachris. Oh, so that he doesn't discuss. We'll discuss why we say it in the morning, not at night. So the Yerushalmi says as follows. Because at night, says the Yerushalmi, not everyone comes to shul for Ma'ariv. And everyone comes to shul in the morning for Shachris. So therefore, we begin to say it Shachris because that's when everyone's going to be there. Why? Says the Yerushalmi, because if you're going to have people who are in shul at night, and the Chazan got up and he benched Geshem and he reminded everyone they should say Mashiv HaRuach. So those people who were in shul are going to start saying Mashiv HaRuach. The people who daven Yechidus at home don't know. They're going to show up tomorrow and they already missed out one tefillah. So he says it's Nasa Agudas Agudas. It's going to be so confusing. Some people are going to say, some people aren't going to say. It's going to be such a mess. Let's wait till Shachris, till everyone comes to shul. Okay. Interesting. Fine. Very nice reason. That's the way we paskin. And that's actually what we do. We begin to say it Shachris. I mean, by Musaf, we begin to say it on Shmini Atzeres. So what's the story about Talamater? Why do we start to say it at night? Ask the Magen Avram and Simakuf Yudalan Arachayim. If that Yerushalmi is correct, that no one's here by Ma'ariv, and we don't want everyone doing whatever they want, so why don't we say the same thing by Talamater? We begin to say the same Talamater this year on Monday night. Not on Sunday night, we say it on Monday night this year. So why do we begin to say it on Monday night? Why don't we say it Monday morning when everyone comes to shul? That's the Magen Avram's kasha. Oh, one of the Achrayim does say that. So we're going to explain this in a minute. So Magen Avraham himself writes as follows. When it comes to Gevuras Geshamim, when it comes to Mashiv HaRuach, the whole world is uniform as to when they begin to say it. Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz, wherever you live, everyone says it at the same time. However, when it comes to the same Talamater, we're already a little bit confused because the people in Eretz Yisrael have been saying it since Ayin Cheshvan. And the people in Chutz La'aretz only begin to say it on December 4th. So he says the Magen Avraham, since we already have different groups of people doing it at different times, therefore, what's the big deal? So these people miss Ma'ariv, so they'll say it in the morning. Doesn't bother us so much that there's going to be more groups of people saying it at different times. Therefore, it says the Magen Avraham, it doesn't bother us, and we're going to begin to say it at the proper time of Ma'ariv. That's when we're going to start to say V'sein Talamater, December 5th, at night this year, that's when we start to say it. Okay, that's what the Magen Avraham writes in Kuf Yudalad, Sif Aleph. If you look in the Karmen Asanel in the back of Tainus, and in the Cheshek Shlomo, so the Karmen Asanel writes, he says he doesn't like the teretz of the Magen Avraham. It's ridiculous. What do you mean? We don't care that the world is going to become hefker. Everyone's going to do whatever they want. That's not proper, says the Karban Asan. He doesn't like it. And the Cheshek Shlomo writes the same, that it's dachuk lama'ayin. If you look carefully into the sugya, says the Cheshek Shlomo, he thinks that the Magen Avraham's reason is totally dachuk. It's not reasonable. It's not something that we can actually accept. So what is the answer? So the Karban Asan says as follows. He says, we're not going to gain anything if we start saying Talu Mater by Shachris. Why? You know, they say the famous joke about the Reform Shul, that they make an announcement on Matzah Yom Kippur. We'll meet next Yom Kippur, you know. Davening Kol Nidre is whatever. So that's in effect, that's what the Karban Asana writes. I forgot how the joke goes, but something like that. People come to Shul one day a year, so they make an announcement. You know, we'll meet next. Kol Nidre is at 5:30 next year. So that's exactly what the Karban Asana says. He says, what do you mean? During the year, no one comes to shul. Everyone comes to shul on Yontif. So he says, so what's the difference? So you're going to have people who are not going to be at shul on Ma'ariv, but they're going to be in shul Shachar. It's not true. The people who come to shul both. People who don't show up, they only come on Yom Tov. So when we're talking about starting Masha Baruch, which starts on Shemini Atzeres, so then we should think about, when are most people going to be in shul on Yom Tov? Some people are scared to walk outside at night, so they're not going to be in shul. So we'll start in the morning, because that's when everyone's going to be there. When it comes to Talmud Matar, which is Stam, an ordinary day in the year, December 5th, so no one's in shul anyway, and the people who aren't in shul are there, and the people who aren't there, so it's too bad on them. We're not gonna gain anything by waiting until Shacharis. So there's gonna be no more people there Shacharis than there are Ma'ariv. Therefore, says the Karban Asano, it's safe to start at Ma'ariv. That's one terrace. The Cheshek Shlomo says a third approach. We had the Magen Avram first, then we have the Karban Asano. Now we have the Cheshek Shlomo, who says his own approach, which is that this is interesting. He says that we need to think about it as follows. When we talk about saying Masha Baruch, so what happens? We always have the Chazan gets up and he says Masha Baruch Amar Dagesh, right? Before we start Musaf on Shmini Atzeres, he says Masha Baruch. So says the Cheshek Shlomo that when we're dealing with starting to say Masha Baruch, so we would much rather say Masha Baruch in the morning than at night. Why? Because we have a din that you're not allowed to be mafsik being Geula L'Tefila. You're not allowed to be mafsik between Shema and Shmona Esrei. So if that's true, so if I have a choice, when the Chazan should make the clap on the bima and say Masha Baruch? Should he do it at night in between Shema and Shmona Esrei? No. That's a Hefzik Ben Gula Tefila. Therefore, says the Cheshek Shlomo, that's the reason why we begin to say Masha Baruch only by Musaf. Because then the Chazan could be safe, he gets up and he makes an announcement, Masha Baruch Amar Degeshem, and there's no Hefzik Ben Gula Tefila. Fine, good. However, he says, when we're talking about Talmud Matar, so what's my alternative? If I'm not going to start saying it at night, so what's my alternative? I should say it's Shacharis? Also that's a Ben Gula Tefila. So therefore he says we should begin to say it at night. So I have an obvious question. There's a din by Ma'ariv also that you're not allowed to be Mapsik Ben Gula Tefila. So why is Ma'ariv worse? Why is Ma'ariv less chamer than Shacharis? Why is it that the Cheshek Shlomo suggests over here that we should begin to say Masha Baruch at night because the Chazan then can safely make a clap on the bima and say Masha Baruch Amar Degesh, can say Talmud Matar, but when it comes to Shacharis, he won't be able to make that announcement. Why are we safer at night? Is the din of you have to be some Kula Tefillah as well at night? So what do we do about Baruch Hashem La'olam? So some Rishonim actually say you're not allowed to say Baruch Hashem La'olam because it's a hepsik. Others say that that's a Gula Arichta. It's like Hashkivenu. The Gemara talks about Hashkivenu. How am I allowed to say Hashkivenu? That's a hepsik between Shema and Shmona Esrei. Says the Gemara, because since I'm talking about Geula and Emes Ve'amuna, so I'm allowed to continue to talk about Hashkivenu as well. That's what the Gemara answers to that question. So most assume that Baruch Hashem L'Olam is the same. Two different menhagim, whether we should say it or not.
On Rosh Chodesh, they announce Yavo.
So what's with Rosh Chodesh, they announce Yavo? So the Mishnah Berurah in Tav Chav Beis says exactly that point. Says the Mishnah Berurah that in order for the people not to forget to say Yavo, the Shliach Tzibur or whoever it is, the Gabbai should get up and make an announcement. Yavo, Yavo, Alanisim, Talamata, whatever it is. The Gabbai should get up and say it. Ask the Sharatzion, what do you mean? How are you allowed to do that? The Sharatzion in Ois Dalit, he says, what do you mean? There's an Indian to be Samach Gula Tefillah at night? So how am I allowed to make an announcement to say Talmud Matar, Alanisim, Yalaviyavo, whatever it is, how am I allowed to make that announcement in between Kriya Shema and Shmona Esrei at night by Ma'ariv? I to have six. So says the Sharatzion, since Tefillah Arvis is a Rishus, therefore it's Mutar. Now, it's interesting when you look.
How is it any different than when you ask for salt after bracha by bread or something like that?
Mm-hmm. It's saying it's a tzara.
It's a tzara. Mm-hmm. I understand. For rabbin. Why is it a problem?
Not sure. I don't know if we find that in the Gemara, that it's tzara chatfila I'm allowed to say in the middle of davening. Am I allowed to be mapsik?
I don't know. Before.
Let's say I don't have a pair of tefillin. I'm about to daven Shmona Esrei. Am I allowed to ask someone?
I'm sorry.
Let's say I don't have a pair of tefillin and I'm about to daven Shmona Esrei. I'm supposed to daven with my tefillin. So should I tap someone on the shoulder and say, excuse me, can I borrow a pair of tefillin? I don't know. It's an interesting question. I don't know what the answer is. But it's interesting. So the Mishnah Berurah himself writes in Tav Chav Beis.
There's a difference because, by Ma'ase Beruach, you have to make, you can't say it until you make the announcement. You must make
that's exactly the next point we're going to be talking about. 2 minutes. Deal? So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Tav Chav Beis that the Gabbai is allowed to make all these announcements in between Gula L'Tefillah at night. And the Sharatzion says, since Ma'ariv is only Rishus. It's interesting, if you look in the Kaf HaChaim and other Achronim, they say, Absolutely not. He's not allowed to make an announcement. It's a hefsek ben gula tefila. And better is that the shliach tzibur should daven a little faster. And when he gets to yalav yavo, he should say aloud, yalav yavo. You know, there's always someone in shul who does that. I saw in the Halicha Shlomo from Shlomo Zalman and the Archas Rabbeinu from the Stipler, they quote B'Shem L'Chazon Ish. My father told me the same thing, that they all write that it's improper for a person in the shul to actually say yalav yavo out loud, or to say talamater out loud, because you're in the middle of talking to the Ribbono Shlomo now, you're talking to the tzibur behind you. So that's improper. When you're having a conversation with someone to all of a sudden blurt out loud so that people will be able to hear you, sounds like you're having two different conversations at once. So they all write that it's improper, and the best thing to do is for the gabbai to get up and actually make an announcement in between gula tefillah. Fine. So that being said, so what's the explanation here? Why is it that by Ma'ariv we don't care so much just because it's a Rishus who cares? So my father told me this morning that Rav Soloveitchik, when he got up to a Tosfos in Brachas Daftali, Tosfos says that we have the minhag to say Kaddish in between Kriya Shema and Shmona Esrei at night by Ma'ariv, and by Shacharis we don't do that. It's a hefsek ben gula tefillah for Tosfos on Daftali. It's a hefsek, how am I allowed to say Kaddish in between gula tefillah at night? Says Tosfos, no, that since Ma'ariv is only Rishus, therefore it's mutter. So what? Still not supposed to do it. So why do we make a built-in hefsek in between gula tefillah when we know it's not the proper thing to do? So Tosfos says. So Tosfos doesn't explain. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, when he learned this in Shir, in Brachas Daf Dalet, he explained that the Gemara tells us when a person davens a tefillas nedava, there is such a concept as a person offering a tefillas nedava. So when a person davens a tefillas nedava, says the Gemara, tzarech lechadish badava. He has to say something unique in the tefillas nedava to show that this is nedava and it's not a tefillas chova. When I have a tefillah that I'm mechuyev to daven, so I say the text that's found in the siddur. When I have a tefillah that I'm offering as an adaba, so then I have to be mechadish something new into that Shmona Esrei. If that's true, set up Soloveitchik, it's the same thing by Ma'ariv. When we were mekabel Ma'ariv on ourselves as a chova, but really it's not the same status as every other tefillah that we find. It's not like Shachris and Mincha. Ma'ariv is different. So we have to do something different to show that Ma'ariv is not on the same level as Shachris and Mincha. Therefore, set up Soloveitchik, that's what Tosfos means. The reason we specifically instituted Kaddish in the middle of Gula Tefillah is to show that this is not the same as Shacharis, where we would never make a hefsek between Gula Tefillah. So that's what my father explained over here also, that maybe that's the reason why, that's what the Shaar Tzion means over here. Why is the Mishnah Berurah say that a person's allowed to get up and make an announcement, Ala Nisim Yalav Yavo Tala Mater, by Ma'ariv, what he would never do by Shacharis? Answer is because, since Ma'ariv is only Rishus, and we're trying to make that very pronounced, we want everyone to know that Ma'ariv is not on the same level as Shacharis and Mincha. Therefore, we specifically have this heter of saying and making an announcement of Talamater Yalav Yavo, or whatever it is, Alanisim, in that time period specifically.
Why is the connection of Kaddish to Shmona Esrei? You say by Mincha as well. You say Kaddish before Shmona Esrei.
Oh, but by Mincha, yeah. By Mincha, there's no.
I know why you're allowed to say this. So what is the connection of
between Kaddish and Shmona Esrei?
Kaddish to Shmona Esrei. Why do you say Kaddish before Shmona Esrei?
So it's interesting. They do say, I know Rav Soloveitchik has this in one place, in the Sefer that came out on Kriyat Shema Tefillah from him. So I know he has this there, that he said sometimes there's a Kaddish Tiskabel, which is one kind of Kaddish, and he said sometimes there's a Kaddish Hamafsik. For example, he said, by saying Kaddish after Yishtabach, before we say Birchas Krishna, what's that Kaddish about? So he said that there's a concept of a Kaddish Hamafsik. When we want to show, we finish this unit, now we're moving on to the next unit. So that's why we say it after Psuka de Zimra to show that was one unit, and the Kaddish sums that all up. And now we go on to say the next unit of davening, which is Kriya Shema Tefillah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. He said, sometimes you find the Kaddish HaMapsik, it's not just the Kaddish Tiskabel. So that's what he explained. So it could be, I don't know, but it could be, they say that Ashrei by Mincha is a shortened version of Psuka de Zimra. Really, you're supposed to always say some Shvachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before you daven. So Ashrei, you know, we don't have time in the middle of the day to go and say Hope Sukkot Zimra, so we say Ashrei. So it could be that Ashrei is the first segment of the tefillah, and then we say a Kaddish to show that the segment of Sukkot Zimra of Tishbachos is over, and now we go on to the next segment, which is the tefillah. Could be, I'm not sure, but it could be that's based on his suggestion that he writes in that sefer. Fine, now back to your point. We find that the din is, let's say you have an individual who can't make it to shul on Shmini Atzeres. So you have the chazan in shul is going to get up to Tfilas Geshem at 10 o'clock, let's say. 10:30, whatever it is. Let's say 10 o'clock. And I'm davening B'yechidus at home at 8 o'clock. I couldn't make it to shul. So when I daven Musaf, am I supposed to say Masha Baruch? Answer is no. Why not? Because I didn't hear it from the Tzibur. I need the Tzibur to announce that this is the time to say Masha Baruch. Now what's the din on December 5th at night or December 4th at night? If I'm davening b'yichidus and the minyan and shul is only going to daven at 10 o'clock ma'ariv, so am I supposed to say at 8 o'clock at night, am I supposed to already say talamatar? Or am I supposed to wait till shacharis because I have to wait till the tzibur announces it in shul? So the halacha is mefurish that a person is supposed to say talamatar even if he davens early, even if he's not in shul. So what's the difference? So Rav Soloveitchik explained a very profound answer, which is as follows. He says, which is back to what you were saying before, there's a difference between Gvuras Geshamim, Masha Baruach, and the same Talamatar, which is She'ela. Gvuras Geshamim is a tiur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're explaining what our perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Hashem is a Samech Noflim, a Rofei Cholim. He's also a Masha Baruach, a Marad HaGeshem. That's what he is in our eyes. When we get to saying the same Talamatar, that's like any other bakasha. We're asking Hashem Slach Lana, we ask him Erfa'enu, so we ask him the same Talamatar. It's also one of the regular bakashas. So those bakashas, a yachid has a right to ask whenever he wants. If let's say there's an individual who feels he doesn't have children, or he doesn't have a shidduch, or he doesn't have parnasa, whatever he doesn't have, he's allowed to insert that into Shmona Esrei. So this is the same. A person who feels that he needs rain is allowed to say the same Talamatar, and he doesn't need the tzibur to begin that recital of the same Talamatar. Fine. Now, what's with Marad HaGashem? What's with Masha Baruach? We need the tzibur to decide that this is our perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now. For example, Rav Soloveitchik gave this example. The Gemara says in Yuma Daf Samach Tes, Amud Beis, that B'Shas Churban Beis HaMikdash, so Klal Yisrael felt very despair, they felt very lost. And it says that they said something, Ayei Nora Osa. What kind of Nora is this of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is a tremendous God that we have, that He allows people to come and destroy His Beis HaMikdash? What kind of God is this? So the Gemara says that from that time on, they stopped saying in Shmona Esrei, HaKel HaGadol HaGibur Ba'anor. They said, we can't say it with a straight face. It's not true. We just watched HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Beis HaMikdash be destroyed. We can't say it anymore. Came the Chacham to them and said, no, this is one of the amazing things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He allows people to act up in the world, and He allows people to run the world, and He doesn't get angry at them. He's not a zealous God. He doesn't sit there and kill people right away for doing something wrong. He has patience for them. He waits for them to be chazir b'tshuva. So then, chazru lomar, hakel agadol agibur hanor. Then everyone went back and they began to say again in Shmona Esrei, this nusach of hanor. They said it made sense. The perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was back to the place where it was in the beginning. So what do you see from there? So Soloveitchik said that when you're saying a shvach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you're saying a bracha, so you have to say according to what the perception of the tzibur is at that time. So at the time of the Churban, the perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, he's not Nora. He's not amazing. He wasn't. That's what they felt. So therefore they took it out. Then when the Chacham explained to them that, no, he is Nora, so then they put it back in. So that means that a bracha always has to be instituted based on the perception of the people who are reciting it. So therefore, when it's time for us to say Gevuras Geshamim, right now we know it's the time for the rainy season. So in our minds, our perception is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a person who is Masha Baruch HaMarad HaGeshem. Because when we think about our produce, when we think about the land, when we think about how much water we need, we think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who provides the water for us. So that's why we need the tzibur to begin the recital of Masha Baruch before we can say it on our own. Why? Because we need them to decide what, in our eyes, what is our perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why we need to wait for the tzibur to recite Masha Baruch HaMarad HaGeshem, and that would not apply by the same Talamatar. My father added to this as well, once that it says in the Gemara and Brachos and the Shulchan Aruch, it's quoted, Kishem Shem Mavarach Ala Ra, Kachem Ala Tov, Kachem Mavarach Ala Ra. When a good thing happens to a person, he makes a Tavah Ametim. When a bad thing happens to him, he says, Dayna Amis. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Mechaber quotes this, that a person has to be Maimin Be'amunah Shleima, that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu just did is tremendous, it's unbelievable, and it's amazing. And that's what he has to think with his mind, and he has to know that good and well. And therefore, when he makes the bracha, he should have in mind, Kol Mada Avin Rachman Alitav Avin. So if that's true, the Velt has the Kasha, so why do we have two separate brachas? Why do we have Atav Ametiv and Dina Emes? If a person is supposed to have a Munash Lema, say Atav Ametiv when he loses a relative also. So my father answered that, no. My perception of God right now when I lost a relative is not that he's Atav Ametiv. As much as I'm Mamim Be'amunah Shleima, my perception of him right now is that he's a Dina Emes. It's not that he's a Tov HaMeitiv. So when I'm saying a Shvach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I'm saying a Bracha, it has to be according to what my perception is of God at that time. So therefore, when it comes to saying a Bracha, when a person loses a relative, he has to say Dina Emes. As much as he believes Kamad Avid Rahman Al-Tab Avid, his perception at that time is not that way. And therefore, the Chacham instituted two separate brachos. They have a Dinah Emes and they have a Tov HaMeitiv. Two different things. So that's why we would find these two different halachos in these two different cases. When a person misses davening on Shmini Atzeres, he does not begin to say it. He has to wait for the Tzibur. When a person misses davening on December 5th, he begins to say B'Sein Talam Mutter, even though the Tzibur has not yet said. Maybe we'll continue a little bit next week about this, and we'll go into as well, we didn't even get to the meat and potatoes of the sugi yet, but we'll go into as well how Al Nisim comes into play. It's right before Hanukkah already, 2 weeks. So maybe we'll discuss a little bit about what's the status of one who skips Talam Mutter and davening. Is that considered like skipping Al Yavo? Is it not? What's the status of skipping Al Nisim? Maybe we'll discuss all that next week. Just a quick vart on the parsha. Such Shiyata Deshmaya, I have never in my life opened a Ksav Sofer. Just last night, my son pulled it off the shelf as I was watching him when I came home from yeshiva. And there we are. We have a great part from the Ksav Sofer right here for Shabbos. My first time ever. I figured he pulled it off the shelf. There was a good reason. So this is what it was. He didn't pull it off to learn. He's turning one this week. So that wasn't in mind. So here, says the Ksav Sofer as follows. Leah says, "Hapam oides Hashem." B'shas brachos dab zayin. We all know the famous Gemara Lahaya Adam Shahoda laHakadosh Baruch Hu at Shabbos Leah. There was no one in the history until Leah came along who actually thanked Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Asks the Ksav Sofer and many, many, many others. What do you mean? B'hu tamua chi ha'avos laHodu laHashem ala nisim sha'asalahem. You mean to tell me that the avos didn't thank Hakadosh Baruch Hu for the nisim that He provided them with? It's not true. We know that there was a concept of bringing karbanos. We know that they did thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things that they had. So what are you talking about? Says the Ksav Sefer as follows. Says the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kufir Ches. Anyone who has the chutzpah to get up and say halal, like we have it, every single day of the year, he's a mechayr from Megadif. He's a sheik, it's an apikaris. What's so terrible? If I happen to think that I owe so much gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why am I not allowed to say halal? What's so bad? So he says as follows. V'tzarech b'yir lama, what's the problem? V'chi b'shvil shu zocher chasli Hashem tamid yatzer v'yanish. Why am I getting punished because I want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day of my life? What's so terrible? So says the Ksav Sofer, V'kavanasa ritzuya b'zeh, ki be'emes tzarech adam lehodes b'chol yom v'yom ala tov sha'osa yimah b'chol sha'a, be'es. A person really must thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times and every day. A person really has to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every single breath he takes. The Sefer Chassidim actually quotes that there was a chassid, a tzaddik, a Yari Shamayim who made a bracha on every single, he made up his own bracha on every single aver of his body. He was so thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he made up his own brachas. Now that's a whole discussion whether you're allowed to make up brachas after the Steam Sagamara. We spoke about that last week in the Wednesday afternoon shiur by Mincha Ma'ariv. When we spoke about Baruch Shapatrani, that's a bracha that's not found in Chazal, yet we say that bracha that's only found in the Medrash. So the Rama writes that you should say without Shem and Malchus because it's not a bracha that's found in Chazal. So whatever, the Sefer Chassidim writes that there was this tzaddik who used to make a bracha on every single aver of his body, and the Chida writes in his Pirush on the Sefer Chassidim that obviously he made it without Shem and Malchus because you have no right to make Shem and Malchus. Whatever it is, that's all based on this Gemara that a person should give a shvach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a kol neshima neshima on every breath that he takes on every part of his body. So what's so bad? Hagam shezeh b'chal adam ve'ein zeh chutz l'teva ve'ein lo yiter mikol b'nei adam tzarech lehodos la'alav. Even though I'm breathing just like everyone else is, even though I'm living like everyone else, I still have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu just for the breathing alone. Just for the regular, natural course of events in life, a person must thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'hakar ma'arav tuvo ma'gadol chazdo. V'hine, kishero adam shenas alonei shelo b'teva. When a person has something extraordinary that happens to him, he has some tremendous nes, out of the ordinary. Motzei atzma m'chuyiv lehodos la'ashem u'lesaprak b'rosa. That's when he's really mechuyev to say is when something extraordinary happens to him. Then he gets up and he says, "Halal." How many people get up every day and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being able to breathe, for having a healthy body? Most people don't. But he says, obviously, anybody who's saved from a tremendous calamity would not forego that opportunity to say halal and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'lachin. Mi she'ena omer b'chol yom raka halal ha'masudu lanu lehodos al anisim she'avu she'nasu la b'senim b'mitzrayim. What does this mean? Such a novel interpretation. He says, a person who chooses to say the text of Halal as we have it in the Siddur every day, you think you're doing the right thing? You're not recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things for you every single day. You're just thanking Him for taking us out of Mitzrayim, for all the extraordinary things He did for us, for giving us Eretz Yisrael. That's not thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for your daily life. That's a Mecharif U'Megadid. That's an Apikoros who doesn't realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him everything every single day. So that's what he says in Pshat in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches. Why is a person not allowed to say the text of Hallel every day of his life? Because he's failing to recognize the nuanced life, the nuanced gifts that he gets from Hashem every single day of his life. Go to the next paragraph. Omer Me'ato. So now he explains as follows. Bevada Avram Yitzchak Hodu V'Shibchul Hashem Kimefurish. Obviously, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, they also thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were Ma'minim. They recognized what Hashem did for them. Avalahem Nasu Nisim Shalom B'Teva. All the experiences that they had were supernatural. They were unbelievable experiences. He was saved from Avimelech. He was saved from Paramelech Mitzrayim. Everyone was saved from all these amazing things and were Kazdim and everything was wild what was going on. So okay, obviously they thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vein chiddush kol kach shematzu atzma mechuyam lahodos l'shabeach l'zbarach l'fnei Hashem zivchei todah. That's no chiddush that they thanked Hashem. If someone holds a gun to my head and I'm saved, of course I'm going to get up and say hallel. But the chiddush is, am I going to go tomorrow morning and actually thank Hashem for everything natural that He provided for me? That was the chiddush of Leah. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Leah a child, which is derech kol hanashim shebaaretz. That's the way all women are. The most women give birth and actually have children. So Leah had a natural occurrence happen to her, and yet she got up and she thanked Hashem for that. That was the chiddush. It doesn't mean that there was no one who thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu till then. There was no one who thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the natural occurrences that happened to them on a day-to-day basis. And says Ksav Sofer, that's the chiddush that we have to learn from Leah. That a person has to realize that not only are the tremendous nisim that are done for him in his life considered enough of an excuse, so to say, for him to say hallel, but a person also has to recognize the fact that he really owes HaKadosh Baruch Hu a serious debt of gratitude for even the little things, for even the breathing every day, for even the being alive, for even the simple daily activities, mundane activities that he goes through every single day of his life. That also warrants a proper shvach v'odah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on its own, not just when a tremendous nes happens to him. Rosh Hashem, we will continue next week.
Why do we say that?